6:28, welcome back in. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Omni Nashville Hotel this morning inside of Kitchen Notes as we send it up to Knoxville. Welcome in our man Josh Ward from WNML for his weekly appearance. Josh, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Great to be with you guys.
Good to have you. Obviously, a lot of news this week coming out of Knoxville, and most of it centered around Rick Barnes. And what I found fascinating was the way the national media kind of latched on to his commentary and his brutal honesty about, you know, if it wasn't for the buyout, I would be in Los Angeles with UCLA. But I didn't see a ton of negative reaction from a lot of Vols fans on Twitter. You're right in the center of it. Is that an accurate assessment that most Vols fans did not get a little fired up over his commentary?
I think that is right that most fans did not. Most fans were just glad that Rick Barnes decided to stay at Tennessee and believed after this big season that Tennessee had and the last couple of seasons that Tennessee has been able to put together that he deserved a raise, he deserved what it took to keep him, really so that Tennessee would not lose him, so that Tennessee would not have to go through another coaching search. And at this time, I don't think fans looked at it and said it would be a good time to go through a search. Now, there have been some fans that have not been happy that he put that out there, even though I would say we kind of knew, and we talked about it on the radio last week before his press conference, hey, this is largely what happened here. UCLA did not come through with the entire buyout, and that should be pointed out as well. It's not that UCLA wasn't going to pay anything. It's they weren't going to cover all costs there. And also, Tennessee stepped up to keep him, because if Tennessee had said, we're not giving you a raise, he would be UCLA's coach as well. So I think the majority of fans, are just glad that Rick Barnes decided to stay at Tennessee so that he can try to build on what he's done the last couple of years.
Yeah, Josh, you told me on your show on Wednesday, you said 75-25, excited that he stayed versus angry that he flirted and was honest. Is this a sign of growth and maturity for Tennessee Vol fans and Vol Twitter, or is it just a sign that they had a really good basketball team the last 2 years and something to cheer for?
We probably need to be careful, right, because any day anything can happen and things can come unhinged here very quickly in Knoxville. That's been the way. But, it is a sign, I think, that fans have latched on to more than just football as something that drives their interest, because the excitement level was genuine this year. And I think fans, they think about the experience they had, because this season did have some disappointments. They didn't win any championships in the SEC or make it past the Sweet 16, which was a major goal. But fans, they're thinking about the experience, the fun, the joy they had of watching a team that they really liked, and not only Rick Barnes have they enjoyed hearing from him, and I think most appreciate the honesty that he's open and talks about things, and doesn't attempt to be secretive. He doesn't put everything out there. No coach should, but he's more honest than I think just about any are going to be. I don't know how many would have said what he did about the buyout. And then also the players within this program. I think fans looked at it and said, you know, if Rick Barnes doesn't come back, then we can go ahead and close the door on Grant Williams and Jordan Bone, and that's still going to maybe be a long shot on both of them. But you might say goodbye to Josiah James, the five-star wing player who's going to come in and help you go to the next phase of whatever's going to happen with Rick Barnes. So I think there was a sigh of relief aspect for most fans, because they've seen enough coaching searches and they've seen Tennessee basketball not be so good. Just 2 years ago, they didn't make the NIT, and I don't think fans wanted to go back there, which they probably would have immediately if Rick Barnes had gone to UCLA.
We're talking with Josh Ward, WNML in Knoxville. Josh, we also talked a little about the impact it can potentially have later on in the season, because, I mean, smart basketball people understand that when you lose, you know, at least 60% of your scoring, potentially, that your team is going to take a step back. Maybe not a huge step, but a step back. With what happened with Barnes, do you think this has the potential to come back up if indeed Tennessee finishes maybe fourth in the SEC? Still get a bid to the tournament, but finishes fourth in the SEC standings or below that?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt we could be talking about this again in the future, because Tennessee fans do have a way of remembering. That's why maybe we also should put the hold button on this conversation and revisit here in 11 months or so. And if Grant Williams stays in the draft, if Grant and Jordan both stay in the draft, then Tennessee should absolutely take a step back, and it could be a pretty considerable step back considering the Vols just won 31 games, the most in school history, tied for the most. they would not be expected to do that, even with Josiah James coming in and some options they might be able to find in the grad transfer market or even through the high school ranks. So they should take a step back. Now, if they do and they still make the tournament, but they bounce out in the first round or the first weekend next year, I'm going to offer the reminder, while they lost those pieces, it's about what happens over the next few years. This is really, it is the final chapter of Rick Barnes. We've been saying that the last few years. We didn't know that there would be some kind of at least footnote to add in there. But this is his last run. So it is, to me, the conversation we're looking about, if we're looking at Tennessee basketball moving forward without Grant Williams especially, it's not only about what they do this upcoming season, but it's about the 2020 recruiting as well, where they have one really highly touted player named Corey Walker, junior out of Florida, who's committed, and they have other highly touted players who are considering Tennessee. And those guys are considering Tennessee because of what has happened the last couple of years. And if the recruiting continues on the pace that it is, well, Tennessee's going to have a chance to win beyond this upcoming season. So fans should not be looking at just the next 12 months to judge Rick Barnes and bring back this conversation. But expectations are going to go up. And if we do extend it past the next year, if we go to the next 2 to 3, 4 years, then fans are going to expect more championship contention, a championship at some point, and to make a run to the Elite Eight again or further. And that I do get, because right now Rick Barnes is the third highest paid coach in college basketball. That's subject to change because other coaches can get raises. But when money goes up, expectations go up, especially when you kind of reset the bar yourself, which Rick Barnes did the last couple of years.
Josh, let's go to the spring game or whatever those are called now in college football, scrimmages essentially. But the first time you've had a chance to see them 11-on-11, did you learn anything? Did you take anything away that you didn't already know? Going to have a lot of young players playing. There's questions along both lines of scrimmage. You know, Garantano's more in control of the offense. Those are things we already knew. What did you learn that's new about Tennessee football and maybe some individual players on Saturday?
If we learn anything new, I think it would be about what you just said there at the end, the individual players. There's a linebacker, Shannon Reed, who has not really played much of a role at that position the last couple of years. He is a rising junior, and he had 10 tackles in the spring game, and you have to be careful with stats. But he's a guy that during the spring we had started to hear, pay attention to him here. And with Darren Kirkland Jr. unlikely to play for Tennessee this upcoming season, they need help at that position. And Quavaris Crouch is a newcomer who could help right away. And they have guys like Daniel Batuli and Will Ignat, who impressively played a little bit at linebacker with a non-contact jersey. I don't know that I've ever seen that before. But Shannon Reed is a guy to pay attention to. I think we learned that the talk about somebody like Jalen McCullough, another newcomer, is real. He had two interceptions against a true freshman quarterback. But he's a high school All-American that looks the part and I think will play a pretty big part in Tennessee's defense. And then that's maybe something else that we either learned or was solidified, is that newcomers are going to have to help. That's on the offensive line with Wanya Morris, and there's a chance Darnell Wright is starting very early this fall, and he's not even here yet. He'll be here this summer. That's because the offensive line still has a ways to go, and Jeremy Pruitt has said that. So I think everybody's on board with that opinion. So thoughts that were solidified, the offensive line still needs work. The offense itself does have some legitimate skill players, with Josh Palmer rising at wide receiver. I think Jim Chaney likes the group that he has to work with. They just have to protect the quarterback, because if he goes down, if Tennessee has to replace Garantano again like it did several times last year, the Vols could be in really big trouble.
Josh, watch some of the spring game on the SEC Network, but what was the environment like at the stadium as far as fans, attendance, and just the overall feeling of the fan base coming out of the game? Is this a fan base that is feeling optimistic for year two under Jeremy Pruitt, or do they still have their questions and their doubts?
Well, I think questions and doubts are still there for sure, just because fans have gone through this so many different times and have experienced the early era optimism only to be let down with the last couple of coaches. So I think you're going to have some fans that go in reserved with reservations, but I think also as we go through the rest of this month and we really approach the summer months, July and August will really pick up the optimistic talk from Tennessee fans. I think they'll look at the schedule and say, hey, it's easier than a year ago. They'll look at Jared Garantano and say, hey, fourth-year quarterback Jim Chaney, why can't we go win 8 or 9 games this season? And maybe they can. Right now, I think fans are still hearing the offensive line talk and understanding that it's going to take a little bit more time. But they like the coaching staff. They like having T. Martin back around UT. So long-term, they're finding plenty of things to feel excited about. The spring game atmosphere, I thought, was pretty good. It rained in the early part of the day, and I thought that could really potentially be a problem, but it stopped. Weather was nice, and Tennessee announced a little more than 50,000 fans were at the game, or at least 50,000 for an attendance number. It wasn't that high. It was probably more in the mid-30s, but I don't think that matters. Schools fudge numbers. Florida even kind of gave away its secret for how it fudges its own numbers. So I thought it was a good atmosphere for Tennessee, and fans, by the time we get to July and August, they will be back all in on trying to get Tennessee football some more wins.
Now, Josh, there's been a lot of talk about Rick Barnes and his truthfulness and obviously the spring game. But I think up here what's getting lost, and I don't know if it's getting lost there in Knoxville, is the hire of Kelly Harper. What has been the talk? Because, you know, this is – I think this program, more than any program, needs a uplifting and needs it very quickly, considering where this program once was under Pat Summitt. What has been the talk with Kelly Harper now being the new women's basketball coach?
Yeah, it's really a good question, because the news from last week when she was announced and then they had the press conference, it really was just kind of slid in there, because you had the Rick Barnes UCLA news and then Grant Williams with his press conference that he had, and then here comes Kelly Harper's press conference. I think fans are, again, optimistic. I'll use that word again, but fans are hopeful that a Lady Ball can come back in and get the program back to a championship level. Kelly's done a really good job, I think, with the interviews that she's done. She's been on our station a couple of times talking about what it's going to take and also understanding what kind of job she's stepping into. I think she gets it. She saw Holly Warlick, who is her former coach as well. Holly was a former player and a big-time player at Tennessee and a long-time assistant under Pat Summitt, and it didn't work out for her, and she got fired, and Kelly knows that. And she described it as bittersweet walking in, but, again, she knows what the expectations are. I don't think Kelly's walking in saying, hey, if I can get the Lady Vols to the Sweet 16, that everybody's going to be happy. I don't think everybody's going to be happy that follows Lady Vols basketball until they get back to the Final Four and they're competing for national championships. So she's going to have plenty of support, and I think fans are excited that a Lady Ball is in that position. But it's also the honeymoon period, and at some point fans are going to expect big-time results. And, again, Kelly Harper knows that.
They kind of slid it in like a Friday dump. Like, you know, people dump something on Friday when they don't want you to talk about it, and they kind of slide it in, and hopefully this kind of goes away during the weekend.
Yeah, well, it really wasn't, oh, yeah, here's this, because it was also in the middle of the last week of spring football, so you had the other things I mentioned, plus football, spring game, and Tennessee was pushing a big marketing, you know, sale to try to get fans to the game. So, yeah, it really kind of came out of nowhere. But I do know this. Philip Fulmer was glad that he didn't have to turn around and go from the Kelly Harper search to a search for the men's basketball coach. Mm-hmm. So the happiest person last week was probably Tennessee's AD.
Josh, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Have a good weekend. We'll chat next week.
Hey, you too. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Josh Ward, WNML in Knoxville. We'll come back live from the Omni Nashville Hotel inside of Kitchen Notes here on this Friday. And in my hand, Derek Mason, the Titans schedule. And we will go through each game. Now, yesterday we made the bet on the show. The over-under, according to Vegas wins, is 8.5. I am under at 8-8. You and Braden both go over 8.5. So you guys have at least 9, but I think both of you are thinking double-digit wins. We will go through it when we come back, and we'll see if you guys agree with how I've arrived at 8-8. This will be riveting radio.
Oh, man.
Stay there. We're coming back. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.